Very, very uplifting. Philip does such a great job. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning to open up your word, and earlier to think of your Son and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank, dear Lord, of your tender mercy and your grace. And we know that all that we have is given from on high, and even the next breath that we take is a blessing from above. We appreciate what you've done for us, Lord. We know that it's because of our vile sin that you had to go to the cross of Calvary and suffer such a painful death. But we also know that you rose in triumph and conquered evil, and now we have a way back to heaven. And as we look to the cross of Calvary, we understand our path. We're so thankful this morning that we are here because you have chosen to have us here. And we are blessed as a peculiar people to come to know you through faith as our Lord and our Savior. Bless this message now, Lord, I pray, and that it be to your glory and your glory alone. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, and for those that don't know me, I'm Fred Backstrom. I've been coming to this chapel for 15 years now, just my 15th anniversary. I've been saved for 16, and I still consider myself a baby in the Word. And but as the singing had said, read your Bible and you'll grow every day. And it's such a blessing to be here. I'm going to talk today about the book of Job and the trials and tribulations that Job went through. And I'm also going to talk about some of the things that are going on in my life. And it's in no way a comparison of what Job went through, but it's just an understanding. I've had a lot of brothers approach me that I've been encouraging, and I really appreciate the encouragement to be strong in the faith, be strong in the faith. Well, brothers, I'd like to say publicly that I've never been stronger in the faith than I am today. It's because of the afflictions that I have been given and the trials that I've been given that I've become stronger. And I am so thankful, and I look at those things as blessings, absolute blessings, because when you go through a trial in your life, whether it's somebody in here, a young person might be taken with a girl or a boy, and love is in the air, and they're devastated if that doesn't work out. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the end of the world. There's bigger, more substantial things that you'll likely go through at some point in your life. But that's not to diminish the feelings that you have about that circumstance and that situation at that time. Others have lost their spouses, and that's a challenge within itself. I think of my own mom right now. I spoke to her on the way down, and she's in hospital with a broken pelvis, and she's having a very hard time. She has 5% kidney function, so she's been diminishing for a while. But now it's 2 days from the anniversary of my dad's death, and they were married 63 years. And today she got confused thinking it was today, and I said, no, Mom, it's 2 days from now that dad died, and that's 1 year. And they were, like I said, married 63 years. So everybody has a different challenge that they have to overcome. And you know, it's like in Scripture when we look at Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the Lord will provide, and he'll provide that strength that you need. And he certainly has provided for me and my family. Besides the challenges with my mom and my dad dying, my diagnosis with cancer. And then last week, I had COVID. Elizabeth had COVID. All of my staff in New York had COVID. It was inevitable that I was going to get COVID. Although I traveled to Miami on business, I tested negative on Monday, but Tuesday I was feeling horrible. And the weekend before I was feeling horrible, but I tested negative, so I went on the trip. But fortunately for me, I never appeared to have given it to any of my colleagues, which is a blessing, because I definitely didn't want to give it to my boss, who's a little bit older than I am, and certainly didn't want to put anybody around me at risk. But the Lord provided, and I'm here today. I feel great. Elizabeth's still suffering a little bit from other things, but But the COVID made my platelet numbers on my cancer double. So, but I happened to give my blood work at the time for the cancer specialist at the time that the COVID was raging inside my body. So we both think that the abnormal high numbers right now are because of the COVID. So, and doing some research on it with the different markers in my blood, it appears to be so. So I ask that you continue to pray for that, that let that be the case. But all that being said, I used to teach my daughter, I said, do not live in the valley of excuses. And I've talked about this before, you draw a graph and there's a dip and up, and then there's an arc going over the top. Well, that arc is the leap of responsibility. And no matter what you're going through, it's of no benefit to live in the valley of excuses. Pick yourself up, understand that it's just, you take one day at a time, sweet Jesus. You take one day at a time and you move forward. And you move forward with a very positive outlook, and it will help you no matter how, whether your health is diminishing, whether it's on the rebound, whether your finances are in trouble right now, or whether they're on the rebound. All of these things ebb and flow, and they come to an equilibrium. And what you may lose in one instance, you might be given a gift in another. You know, so I don't look at anything that I'm going through right now as a negative. You know, when you look at having an affliction for, and I'm speaking now for health, if you look at having an affliction in your health, then it makes you appreciate that day a little better. When you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what, the chemo, I don't have any pain in my joints today. That's a good day, right? So you appreciate that day. It's a sweeter savor. You look at your wife a little differently. Maybe I was a little harsh, a little short, or a little quick-tempered in the past. Now I try to understand that I'm not the only one going through something here. She may be, or somebody around me. So you have a little more empathy for people. And so it softens your attitude. And then you begin to reflect on Christ. Look at what Christ did for us. You know, he was crucified for our sins, but for nothing that he did of himself. So why did he have to take the punishment? It was designed that he was going to come to die to save us. And how blessed are we that he willingly went to the cross of Calvary. He did that. He didn't have to, but he did it willingly because he loved us so much. And that love is what we need to enjoy amongst ourselves. Whether you're here today, saved or not saved, you need to understand that Christ loves you. And he's glad that you're here today. So let's get into the message. But beforehand, I want to just define a couple of terms. Because the title of this message, it's all about faith, trust, obedience, and patience. So the things that you go through today may not be there tomorrow. It may be a new challenge, or it may be a different blessing. But every day is a blessing when you're with Christ. Every day. And there's a passage in Scripture here that really struck me. The beauty of preparing for Scripture and the privilege that you're given when you're asked to prepare a message and speak is how much you learn. It really becomes an epiphany and an eye-opener and a blessing just to prepare the message. So the first thing is trust. The definition of trust is it's a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. So if you look at that in terms of Christ, can we rely upon him? Absolutely. Has he got the ability? Absolutely. Does he have the strength? Absolutely. Because as we know with God, the three main attributes of our Lord and our Father is he's omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to do anything. He's also omniscient, knowing everything, and omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. So he's all around us. He knows what our thoughts are even before we express them. So if you're praying to God and you think there's a formality to it and you have to do it a certain way, or you need to say thou or they or the ancient way of speaking, it's not necessarily so. A prayer to God is a personal conversation between you and the Father or the Son, And it's your way of communicating and expressing. If you don't fill in all the blanks, he knows what you mean. He knows your intent. But what you have to do as you pray is you have to pray sincerely. You have to give your heart over. So sometimes it takes a real challenge in the person's life to become sincere, to become humble, and put yourself before the Lord in a humble state of mind, in a sincere state of mind. And he will answer your prayers. But they have to be sincere. You know, don't pray for a Maserati or a Ferrari. Right? You gotta work for that. Pray for the ability to work to earn that kind of money if that's what you want. But that shouldn't be your primary goal. So that's trust. Faith. Strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So grabbing a hold of something. And in Hebrews 11 and 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you don't necessarily have to see it to be able to have faith in it. You know, I often talk when Kaylee was a little girl and I coaxed her to jump off the steps going up to the second floor of the house into my arms. She had to do that with faith, the faith that I was going to catch her and she wouldn't be hurt. Every time I step on an airplane, I have faith that they put it together the right way, that the pilot's not drunk, and that he's going to get us to our destination safely. But it's still, you're putting a lot of faith in a lot of people that put that airplane together. And then just to imagine that it's 300,000 pounds and it's able to fly through the air is a magnificent thing in itself. But that's faith. And then obedience. Compliance with an order or request or law or submission to another's authority. We need to submit. We need to declare that he is Lord of our life. We have to make him Lord of our life. We have to accept that. You have to humble yourself, you know. So those are the three definitions. Now, if you have Bibles, you can open up to Job chapter 1. And we'll read Job chapter 1 in its entirety. And then we'll fast forward, per se, and go to chapter 42 and see the conclusion of Job. But Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. So in other words, the things that he owned. For 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So he was very wealthy in regard to material things. And Job 1 and 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And then and subtitle of this next paragraph is Satan is allowed to test Job. So Job 1 and 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for not? And then Job 1 and 10, has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And then it says, put but forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So Satan's basically saying, Job loves you because he has all these blessings. And the Lord said, go ahead. You can do what you want with these blessings, but you can't touch Job. So then Job 1 and 13, and the subtitle on this is Satan takes Job's property and children. And Job 1 and 13 says, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And Job 1 and 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans have made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. They are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So there we see that everything was taken away from Job, yet he did not blame God, and he realized that all that he was given and all that was taken away was from God to begin with. So when I think of woe is me, the odd time when you sit down and you lament about your challenges, I think of the book of Job. And I understand, years ago, before I was even saved, before I knew anything about the Bible, I would always hear people say, that person, they got the patience of Job. And it's true. It really is that when it comes to patience and understanding, and understanding that, as I had prayed, we are here even by the next breath that we take only from on high. We're not here because of our own power. So let's now move forward to the Lord restores Job's fortunes in chapter 42 in verse 10. In Job 42 and 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginnings. So he blessed the back end more than the front. For he had 14,000 sheep. Remember, he had 7 before. And 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second, Kazeh, and the name of the third, K- Karen Hapuk, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his daughters' sons, and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. So Job was restored, his fortunes were restored because of his faithfulness and his love of the Lord. And he never once questioned or challenged, "Why me, Lord?" Nor should we. We need to accept and understand, as it said in Philippians 4, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And even in Philippians 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So now I just wanted, the whole message today is about trust, obedience, faith, and patience. And we just saw the trust and the faith and the obedience and the patience that Job had in those scriptures. I just want to quickly go through a few more scriptures that accentuate that point. And the Bible is full of various scriptures that talk of these attributes. So Isaiah 4, and you don't need to turn to these, I'm going to go through a lot of these very quickly now. Isaiah 41 and 10, and it demonstrates God is always with you, always present to help. 41 and 10 says, "Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And so God turns with tender assurances to his own people. And this was at the time that the Jewish people were captives in Babylon. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So, in that passage, you have to make a full commitment of yourself, your spirit, your soul, and your body to the Lord. We must trust him, not only for the salvation of our souls, but also for the direction of our lives. So that's what struck me. Not only the salvation of your soul, but also for the direction of your lives. So your daily need. You need to trust that he will provide your daily need. It must be a commitment without reserve. And then, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Every area of our lives must be turned over to his control. We must have no will of our own, only a single, pure desire to know his will and to do it. So try to understand what the Lord has for you in your life. Try to understand his will. Psalm 37, 4 and 6, it says, and this was one of the hardest lessons for me to learn, and basically to summarize it is, you do not have to fight every injustice when you trust in the Lord. I'll get into this one a little deeper. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. So one of the things about this, in 34 and 7, we need to understand the battle is not yours, but God's. So you have to put the battle over to the Lord. There's times when I have fought for the wrong reasons, with the wrong people, because I felt like I was slandered or disrespected or slighted in different ways. And if you're slandered, if your character is assailed, and it seems like at the time you're under a cloud, somebody's made a false accusation against you, your pride kicks in and you think you need to defend yourself. But those are the times when you need to be Christian-like and put it over to the Lord and let the Lord handle that challenge for you. He will protect your character. He will disperse the clouds. He will make things clear. and the motives of your conduct as the sun without a cloud. So, you know, when it says, and thy judgment as the noonday, the Lord will clear things up. You have to just trust. So I remember when I moved here from New York, I was one of the few Canadians in the plant at the time. I'm now Canadian and American, half and half. Some days I don't know which half, but anyway. But when it was very controversial when I first came here, and there were people that didn't want me here. And there were five Canadians. I'm the last Canadian now. Well, I'm American, so I'm getting confused here, but you know what I mean. In the plant today. And but there were a lot of things, a lot of lies that were spread about me at that time. And I can remember, and I might have mentioned this before, sitting in a room with somebody that was one of my superiors, high above me, and he just, for lack of a better word, ripped me a new one. And as he was going up and down both sides of me, the old Fred wanted to come out and kind of put him through the wall and make him like a Bugs Bunny cartoon silhouette. And I sat there. I had been saved, only newly saved. And it's only by the Holy Spirit, I believe, I was able to sit through that barrage. And I often think of how the Lord was crucified, and his beard was plucked, and he was insulted, and he was spit upon, and he was mocked, and he was ridiculed. And he was perfect. And it's a mystery to me, because I had a hard time that day not reverting back to the old Fred, but I didn't. Later, that same man, years later, came to understand the truth and respect, because all I said was, I can't control what somebody else has done to you because of your lack of understanding or action regarding that circumstance. And so I didn't strike out at him, and my grace towards him was noticed. And years later, he retired from the company. But before he retired, he sent me a special note telling me how much he respected the way I conducted myself on that day. So you know, we are in the public. We need to represent the Lord in the very best light that we can. And I know none of us are perfect, and we will stumble and we will falter. But we have to have a sincere heart and try to understand the will of the Lord. That's why it's so important to be in the Scriptures. It was refreshing to hear this young man today talk about the work that he's doing with Jim. And it's all because of the Scriptures that he's becoming more enlightened on the will of God. So it's such a blessing. And then it says in Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And that's, I didn't even know that scripture that day, but I'm so glad that I've discovered it now. So it's coming up upon 12 o'clock here, so I'll quicken things up. Just some other scriptures that are very encouraging for the daily battle that we face. And you don't need to turn. Psalm 9 and 10. They that know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek you. Psalm 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Matthew 6 and 25. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So isn't your life more than the food and the clothes? Joshua 1 and 9. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 37 and 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also to him, and he shall bring it to pass. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out the roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I won't cover all of these, but there's scripture after scripture after scripture that's encouraging to us all if we put our trust in the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" 1 Peter, "Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you." Psalm 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." Psalm 124:8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Psalm 125, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but stays forever." Psalm 32:10-11, "Many sorrows shall be the wicked, to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Compass him about. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart." So in summary, look upon the Lord with your heart and your spirit will grow strong. He will guide you your every step. No matter how adverse the situation is, he will make you see clearly and will uphold you in your time of need. Call on him sincerely. When you think, "Oh God, I can't do this myself, I don't know how to do it," and you feel weak and negative, and these thoughts arise, does not God know about it? He already knows. He knows what you're going through. When these thoughts arise in people, are their hearts sincere? When you call on God sincerely in this way, God will arise to help you. When you put your only hope in God and your heart is sincere, though you may not have said much, your heart has already stirred, and he will understand that. That is, you give your sincere heart to God, and God listens. When God listens, he sees your difficulties, and he will enlighten you and help you and guide you. So, that's pretty much the message. Thank you for listening. We'll close in prayer. But I hope that you go away encouraged that no matter what your trials are, whether it's a personal thing, a health issue, a financial issue, an emotional challenge, people go through all kinds of situations. But when we have the Lord in our life, he will get you through it. He will help you. He will assure you. And he'll provide for you. He'll uphold you in his hand. I always like the image of him holding me in the palm of his hand. And when the storms come, he'll just close his hand over the top without crushing me and keep me safe. And so we're so blessed today to be here and as a peculiar people. And if you're not saved, you really should give some thought. And like I said, as no matter what the situation is in your life, there's always somebody that's having a bigger challenge. And hopefully they too will come to know the Lord. And there's people here in this audience that have survived cancer. And, it's an alarming statistic when you look at, I think it's 1 in 3 people at some time in their life may be afflicted with such an illness. So we all need help. We all need to support each other. So the brothers that have reached out to me, some that I have not had an opportunity to answer. I apologize, but I understand it is extremely encouraging when I get those notes, and I appreciate it with my deepest sincerity in my heart. So thank you so much, and may God bless us all. We should close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning to sing to your glory, to listen to all of the children singing with such enthusiasm this morning. Blessed me, as I'm sure it has blessed others in the audience. And we thank you for those that have helped the children downstairs and those that have brought everyone here to listen to your word, to scriptures this morning that describe your person and the encouragement that you give us and the promises. These things that we read in scripture we know to be true. And we believe with all of our heart that these things will come to pass. We're thankful that you are our Lord and that you provide for us. We know that as we go out for the balance of this week and we face the different challenges, whether it be darkness or whether it be sunshine, all things that you've done in our lives are blessings. And you know, and we know that if you give us a challenge to deal with, you will also give us the strength to bear it. All glory and honor be yours, Lord, and yours alone. Amen.